WIE Unbound presents Ripples on the Surface of Being, an interview with Eckhart Tolle. Part 1.
I know, in the few moments that we've been speaking together, you indicated in so many words that you spend a lot of time by yourself in solitude of one sort or another. So I wanted to ask you just a little bit about what your life was like, and because I've heard you're a little bit of a recluse, but I don't know if that's true.
Right.
So just this little
in a way that has been true in the past. Before the book came out, for many years I was a recluse, and then my life since the publication of the book has changed dramatically. So I'm now really very much involved with teaching and traveling, and people who knew me before, when they see me now, they say, this is amazing, because you used to be a hermit and now you're out in the world. And yet I still feel that inside nothing has changed. I still feel exactly the same as before. There's still a continuous sense of peace, and I'm surrendered to the fact that on an external level there's been a total change. So it's not actually true anymore that I'm a hermit. I used to be, but now I'm the opposite of a hermit. Now this may well be a cycle. It may well be that at some point this cycle will come to an end and I will become a hermit again. But at the moment I'm surrendered to the fact that I'm almost continuously interacting.
Right.
I do occasionally take time to be alone. That is necessary in between traveling, in between teaching engagements.
Why is it that you need to take time to be alone, and what is it that happens when you take the time to be alone?
When I'm with people, I'm a spiritual teacher. That's the function, but it's not my identity. It's the moment I'm alone. My deepest joy is to be nobody.
Your deepest joy, you said?
Yes. Is to relinquish the function of teacher, which is only a function. It's not, I don't see it as an identity or my identity. It's a temporary function. And the moment, let's say I'm seeing a group of people, the moment they leave me,
yes,
that's, I'm suddenly alone. I'm no longer a spiritual teacher. There's no longer any sense of external identity. I simply go into the stillness more deeply. So the place that I love most is the stillness. And it's not that the stillness is lost when I talk or when I teach, but because the words arise out of the stillness. But when people leave me, there's only the stillness left, and I love that so much.
And so would you say you prefer it?
Not prefer. There's a balance now in my life which perhaps wasn't there before, because when the inner transformation happened many years ago, a balance was lost. I got lost in being completely. It was so fulfilling and so blissful simply to be that I had lost all interest in doing or interacting. So one could say that for quite a few years a balance was lost in my life. I got lost in being. I had relinquished doing completely, almost, just enough to keep myself alive. And even that was miraculous. And I had lost interest totally in future. So, and then gradually a balance reestablished itself. It didn't reestablish itself fully until I started writing the book. And now, the way I feel now is that there is a balance in my life between being alone and interacting with people, being between being and doing. Mm-hmm. They are now completely balanced.
Mm.
Whereas before, the doing was relinquished and there was only being, blissful, profound, beautiful. But from an external viewpoint, many people thought something had happened to me, I had become unbalanced or mad. Some
yes.
people thought I was mad.
Yes.
To have let go of all the worldly things that I had, quote, achieved, not wanting or needing any of that anymore. So that's the balance now is between also between aloneness and meeting with people. And that's quite good. And I'm quite attentive to that so that the balance doesn't get lost. There's now a pull towards increasing doing. People want me to talk here and talk there and constant demands. So I know that I need to be attentive now so that the balance is not lost and I don't get lost in doing. I don't think it would ever happen. But it requires a certain amount of vigilance.
And what would it mean to get lost in doing?
Well, theoretically it would mean that I continuously interact with people, I travel and teach, and perhaps if that happened at some point, the flow, the stillness might not be there. I don't know, it may always be there. But I feel now that I need to return to the pure stillness periodically,
mm-hmm.
and then just allow, when the teaching happens, allow it to rise out of the stillness. So there's the teaching and stillness are very closely connected too.
Of course.
So the teaching arises out of the stillness. When I'm alone, there's only the stillness. And that is my favorite place.
And when you're alone, do you spend a lot of time physically being still?
Yes. I can sometimes sit for 2 hours in a room with almost no thought, just complete stillness. Sometimes when I go for walks also, there's complete stillness. There's no mental labeling of sense perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
There's simply a sense of awe or wonder or openness. And that's beautiful.
Okay. In your book, The Power of Now, you state that the ultimate purpose of the world lies not within the world, but in transcendence of the world. Could you explain what you mean?
Yeah. Transcending the world does not mean to withdraw from the world, to no longer take action, or to stop interacting with people. Transcendence of the world is to act and to interact without any self-seeking. In other words, without seeking to enhance one's sense of self through one's action or one's interaction with people. So it is ultimately, what it means is not needing the future anymore for one's fulfillment or one's sense of self or being. So there's no seeking through doing, seeking an enhanced or more fulfilled or greater sense of self in the world. When that mm-hmm. seeking isn't there anymore, then you can be in the world but not be of the world. You're not seeking for any identifications anymore in anything that you encounter out there.
So would you say you were saying that you're no longer seeking to gain anything from it?
Yes.
That one has given up a egotistical, materialistic relationship to the world.
Yes, especially not to gain a sense of self, a deeper or enhanced sense of self, because in the normal state of consciousness, what people are looking for through their activity is to be more completely themselves. They're all looking for that. The bank robber is looking for it in some way. Mm-hmm. The person who is striving for enlightenment is also looking for it because he's seeking to attain a state of perfection, a state of completion, a state of fullness at some point in future. So there is this seeking to gain something through one's activities. And that self-seeking, really seeking, they're seeking themselves, or you could say God, it comes to the same thing. They're seeking for themselves, and they're seeking where it can never be found in the normal state of consciousness. That means they are off the world. They're in the world and off the world.
We're looking for it in time.
Yes. Yes. So it's the world and time are so intrinsically connected. So it's the self-seeking in time. When that ceases, then you can be in the world without being of the world.
So just to go back to the question, when you say the ultimate purpose of the world lies not within the world, but in transcendence of the world, what do you exactly mean that the purpose of the world lies in the transcendence of it?
Yes. Everybody seems to need to go through there's a process when one loses oneself in the world. The world promises fulfillment somewhere in time, so there's a striving towards that fulfillment mm-hmm. in time. And then the striving continues, becomes more intense, more acute. Many times people feel, yes, now I have arrived, and then realize, no, they haven't arrived. So the striving continues. Expressed beautifully in the Course in Miracles, where it says, the dictum of the ego is, seek but do not find.
Right.
So there's that continuous striving, and ultimately suffering arises through that, through not finding.
Mm-hmm.
And through that is the beginning of an awakening, when the realization dawns that perhaps this is not the way. Perhaps I will never get to where I'm striving. Perhaps it's not in the future at mm-hmm. all. So after having been lost in the world, suddenly, often through the pressure of suffering, a realization comes that the answers may not be found out there in worldly attainment, and not even in the future. So before, there had been an identification with situations and people and attainment and things, seeking, because the ego, the mentally derived sense of self, always seeks to grow and enhance itself through identifications. So there's a grasping for identifications, and that builds up the ego, but also it's never fulfilling, it's never enough. And that the more the identifications accumulate, the heavier and more dense the ego becomes, the greater also the suffering that goes with that.
Mm.
And that eventually brings about the awakening. It's through the suffering created by that. So what then arises is, first, there's a collapse of the sense of self that had been running the show, so to speak, for many years. It no longer works. People arrive at a point where that no longer works for them. And often that's perceived as a personal crisis, that even people who have attained success may come reach that point. They may be at the height of their success and suddenly enter a crisis because they realize it's not fulfilling. They haven't found themselves. Everybody tells them they are the greatest, and they wake up in the middle of the night and with a state of dread and fear. And so that's an important point for many people to reach, that sense of deep crisis, when the world as they have known it and the sense of self that they have known, that's identified with worldly thing, becomes meaningless. And then that happened to me. And then there's the possibility of suicide comes very close at that point. And some people actually do commit suicide. And I was just that close, just from suicide, and then something else happened. A death happened of the sense of self that lived through identifications, mentally derived sense of self, identifications with my story, things around me, the world. Something arose at that moment that was a sense of deep and intense stillness and aliveness, beingness. I later called it presence. And I realized beyond words that that is who I am, but it wasn't a mental process, that realization. I realized that that vibrantly alive, deep stillness is who I am. That is, later, years later, I read books and I realized we could call that pure consciousness. Whereas everything else is the conditioned consciousness. Mm. The human mind is the condition. Consciousness has taken form as thought. The conditioned consciousness is all of the whole world that is created by the conditioned mind.
Mm.
Is that. Mm. Everything is our conditioned entities, objects, even everything is conditioned. Consciousness has taken birth as a form,
mm.
and then that becomes the world.
Mm.
So to be lost in the conditioned seems to be necessary for humans. It seems to be part of their path.
Okay.
To be lost in the world, to be lost in the mind, which
yes.
is the conditioned
yes.
consciousness,
yes.
that seems to be the path. And then out of the suffering, due to the suffering that arises out of that, being lost,
yes.
finding the unconditioned as oneself.
Yes.
And that is why we need the world
to
transcend the world.
Okay.
So I am infinitely grateful for having been lost.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
And it's possible that this is also the meaning of when Jesus talks about the parable of the prodigal son, which usually is interpreted by the church in a different way. He talks about the parable of the prodigal son who leaves his father's home, which is a place of great wealth and joy and aliveness, and says, no, I'm going to be independent. I'm going to make it my own. Give me my inheritance. That's the story.
Mm.
He leaves and after a few years becomes poorer and poorer and destitute and even forgets his origin.
Mm.
It's a different version. It's a Middle Eastern, actually old Middle Eastern story. He forgets his origin and he becomes a beggar and destitute. And then his father sends messengers and says, don't you realize who you are? And then returns home. So it's returning home after having been lost. This is not the same home that it is, and it isn't the same home that you left perhaps a million years ago.
Mm.
Because now, after having been lost, you re-enter it with full consciousness. That's why that home is so beautiful now.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of the world is for you to be lost in it, ultimately. The purpose of the world is for you to suffer, to create the suffering, which seems to be what is needed for the awakening to happen. And then, once the awakening happens, comes also the realization that suffering is unnecessary now. You have reached the end of suffering because you have transcended the world. It is the place that is free of suffering. So this seems to be everybody's path.
Mm.
Perhaps not everybody's path in this lifetime, but it seems to be a universal path.
Mm.
What a spiritual teaching does, because even without a spiritual teaching or spiritual teacher, I would believe that everybody would get there eventually. But they could take time.
A long time.
Much longer.
Yeah. So
a spiritual teaching is there to save time.
Mm.
And the basic message of the teaching is that you don't need any more time.
Right.
And the basic message of the teaching is that you don't need any more suffering. And if you're ready to hear, I tell this to people who come to me, if you're ready to hear this, then you're ready for it, because you're here, I'm speaking to you. If you are ready to hear it because you're hearing it. There's still a million people out here who are not hearing it, but I'm not talking to them. If you're hearing that you don't need time anymore and you don't need suffering anymore, you've been seeking in time and you've been seeking suffering, you've been seeking further suffering, and suddenly to hear I don't need that anymore, that for some people that has been the moment of transformation. Now to be ready to hear this, of course they need it, that they've already suffered. If they hadn't suffered enough, they wouldn't be here listening. The fact that they're here means they've suffered enough already. So the beauty of the spiritual teaching is that it saves lifetimes of
unnecessary suffering.
Yes. So it's good that people are lost in the world. I enjoy traveling to New York and Los Angeles, where it seems that people are still totally involved. I was looking out of the window in New York. We were next to the Empire State Building doing a group.
really?
Yes, right next to
okay.
it. And everybody was rushing, almost running. Everybody seemed to be in a state of intense nervous tension, anxiety.
Well, it's New York.
Suffering, really, but it's not recognized as suffering. And I looked at where are they all running to, and of course, they're all running to the future. They're needing to get somewhere, which is not here. It's a point in time, not here, but then.
Mm.
They're running to a then. They are in suffering, but they don't even know it. But to me, even watching that was joyful. I didn't feel, they should know better, why don't they? They're on their spiritual path. That's at the moment, that is their spiritual path, and it works beautifully.